Happy 2013. Can you believe it? Wow. This is our first session for 2013.
God is amazing.
I'm sitting here going, really?
Happy 2013. You made me think of, you know, the old Frosty when he goes, "Happy birthday!" Do you remember the old Frosty?
I remember that one.
The Frosty the Snowman cartoon.
All I remember is silver and gold. My husband sings that all the time.
I love singing that today, too.
That's cute.
I love it.
We have been talking about a very interesting character.
Yeah.
Mr. Satan himself and what he does to challenge our identity in Christ and our character.
Mm-hmm. It's a test that he brings before us. And, you know, based on what the Bible says, it says Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan, because it would reveal what was in Christ.
Do you think he knew?
Who's he?
Oh, Jesus.
Jesus knew what?
Like he was going, do you think that he understood, I mean, what was going to be taking place? Did he have any idea?
I believe that Jesus is all-knowing, all-seeing, and all-powerful, and that he could have allowed himself not to be under the constraints of this earth, but he chose to allow himself to be within those constraints so that we could relate to him. And so I think that while he was here, he walked in those constraints as we do in order that our identity could be where we identify with him.
In the fully man part of
him. Right.
So it's amazing. Another thing he did for us.
I know, which is a perfect lead-in to, we've looked at how through the wilderness wanderings, if you're listening for the first time, we're talking about when the Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness and he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights and Satan tempted him. The first temptation he came at Jesus with turning stones into bread. And then the second temptation, Jesus countered it with live on the word of God alone, not on bread. Then Satan came after Jesus and said, took him to the highest point in Jerusalem at the temple and challenged Jesus to jump off because angels won't allow his feet to strike the ground. And Jesus reminds Satan through the word, it says, do not put the Lord your God to the test. The third temptation comes when Satan takes him to the highest point in the mountain. And at the highest point in the mountain, he shows him all the splendors of the world. And he says, if you just bow down to me and worship me, I'll give you all of this. And Jesus says, away from me, Satan, and for it is written, worship the Lord your God, the Lord alone. And then Satan flees and the angels come and minister to him. And so, to capsulize, in the tariff phrase of Matthew 4, 1 through 11, that's what we're looking at. And we learn a lot. We've examined how Satan went after Jesus' identity, how he, through the test, was revealing the actual character of Christ. What I'd like for us to look at today is, what do we learn about Jesus? What is actually revealed about Jesus? And Tanya had shared on the break, she remembered a verse. Mm-hmm. And so, Tanya, will you share that with us?
Sure. It was, I read in Zechariah 6 this morning about the crowning of Joshua. So a prophecy looking into the future kingdom of Israel. Mm-hmm. And it was talking about how the king... he will build the temple of the Lord there. Then he will receive royal honor and will rule as king from his throne. He will also serve as priest from his throne. So a perfect harmony between these two roles. And it just reminded me of what you shared last week about in the second temptation when Jesus was taken up to the highest point of the temple, that this is what the high priest?
Yeah.
The high priest would go up there every morning and blow the ram's horn to wake up the city. And Jesus knew, I think, in the fullness of his godness, that he knew all things and he... that he would one day be that, the high priest and the king.
I love it. Isn't it amazing? Mm-hmm. It's amazing. the thing is, you know, one, I want to point out, Satan, all these promises Satan's giving, he can't fulfill. Mm-hmm. He can't if Jesus bowed down and worshiped him, give him all those kingdoms. So that's one of the things we have to keep in mind when the lies come. Mm-hmm. They're unfulfilled truths. Versus Jesus, who did not follow those temptations, could fulfill all of them. He could turn stones into bread. Jesus could jump off the highest point and he would not be injured. And he is the King of Kings. Mm-hmm. He is the ruler of all things. And so the very temptations that Satan was bringing, he couldn't even fulfill. Mm-hmm. And so that is something I just want to bring in and pull in to tie in last week, because the lies of Satan can be so simple, and it seems like it's just plausible. It's right there in our reach, but they're unfulfilled promises that can never be fulfilled. Mm-hmm. Whereas Jesus can fulfill all promises, and every promise that he makes, it will be honored and will be completed. And so I want us to think, as we think of Jesus' response, what do we learn about Jesus? What do we learn about him as fully God, fully man in this situation? As you're watching him interact with Satan.
Well, he stays committed.
Yeah.
Completely.
I mean, he
came to fulfill the will of the Father, and he is doing it.
Yeah.
Very good.
I think also the he doesn't there's not many words used to to quiet and to silence Satan. Whereas, you know, it reminds me of the verse talking about take every thought captive. Mm. That I struggle with.
Don't we all?
Just take it. If I could just respond, it is written. Mm-hmm. It's written in scripture. Written.
I think we all just need to have that in our phrase. It is written.
Like push play, and that's what comes out, and that's what's in the
and
head,
replay,
the brain.
Replay.
I need that phrase too, Tanya. Mm-hmm. You know, guys, I am thinking a lot on this because as Satan approached Jesus, I want us to understand the first temptation he brought before Jesus would have been a very selfish use of God's power. Okay? The Spirit led him into the desert. Mm-hmm. The Spirit led Jesus to fast and pray for 40 days and for 40 nights. And in knowing that the temptation was coming, if Jesus were to turn stones to bread, it would have been a selfish motive when that was what God had asked him to do, okay? And so as Satan brings temptations to us, we have to ask ourselves, what's the motive behind this? Mm-hmm. You know, if our goal is to use the power of God for a selfish reason, then we are misusing that gift. Jesus had a gift. He could turn anything, water into wine. And so the question we always have to ask ourselves, when God has given us a gift, am I using this for my selfish motives or am I using it for God-given reasons? Mm-hmm. It takes only a split second for me to go into the wrong. Mm-hmm. It only takes a split second.
So, Tara, when you're talking about that, I mean, it's like it could be like a talent as a gift.
Yeah.
Or even like an actual physical something material.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. And my gift of teaching, the minute it has a selfish motive, I'm out of the will of God. The minute it is brought before me as a temptation to meet my need, my physical, mental, emotional need, I am misusing my gift. And so that's where we have to go back, Tanya, and remind ourselves often, it is written. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We have to confess when we have the wrong motives. We have to ask ourselves and test ourselves. We have to be willing to test ourselves and guard. Okay, now let's look at the second one. The second temptation was scripture in that he says, if you were to jump off, the scripture commands that the angels will come and take care of you. I would like one of y'all to open up Psalm 91 And it's actually verses 11 through 12 that Satan is quoting. Mm-hmm. And I want us to look at and see how Satan twists this. And I want you to see the words that he actually leaves out. And because it's quite profound. Tanya, did you get it?
I do.
Psalm 91, verses 11 through 12.
Okay, so this is in the NLT. It says, "For he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go. They will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone."
Okay.
You have a different.
The difference, I don't know if that shows the difference. The difference, that's interesting. The NLT doesn't have the phrase.
Mm.
Do you have, what are you, translation do you have, Sandy?
I think I have the New Living translation.
Okay, try that one. I want to see. Yeah, the Quest, do that one.
"For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone."
Okay. It is in all your ways. Does it say that in the NLT? Did I miss it?
I have in all your ways.
Wherever you go. Okay, wherever you go. Okay, wherever you go. I just didn't take the phrase.
Yeah.
All right, so wherever you go. How does John 14:6 define Jesus?
He is the way, the truth, and the light.
Okay, say that slower. The way.
Mm-hmm.
The truth and the life. The first one is what? The way. I want to get this clear. I want to make this emphasized clearly. Satan dropped off in all your ways because Jesus is the way.
Oh, here.
Hmm.
Okay. And Jesus, the way Jesus was trying to walk was in what Shelley had pointed out, the will of the Father. He was committed to doing the will of the Father.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was removing that which was Jesus' sole purpose was to get to Jerusalem to die on the cross.
Yeah.
And so do you see how he removed out which was the core of his very being of what he was called to do? Our temptation is going to be that it's going to try to remove us from the way of what God intends us to do, to walk in the way of Christ.
Hmm.
As a disciple maker, we are called to make disciples of Jesus. And when something comes to us, we have to ask the question, is this really the way? Is it really Jesus's way, the truth, the life? Do you see how crucial that is? Because a disciple follows that which is the one they're following. And I found this quote today, and I wanted to share it because it's so profound. William Barclay, in Barclay's commentary, he says, "A gospel founded on sensation mongering is foredoomed to failure. It's not the way to use the power of God." He says, "A faith that is dependent upon signs and wonders is not faith. If faith cannot believe without sensation, it is not really faith at all. It is a doubt looking for proof and looking in the wrong place. God's rescuing power is not something to be played and experimented with. It is something to be quietly trusted in the life forever." So Satan is challenging Jesus to go to the highest point in the temple to jump, because the priests go there. Everybody in the city can see the highest point in the temple.
Mm-hmm.
How sensational would that be for the whole city to look and see Jesus jump and the angels catch him and lay him gently down to the ground? It was for the purpose of sensationalism, to draw people to him because of a high emotional experience. Seriously, this is something that has to be heard.
Mm-hmm. Especially today in our culture.
Mm-hmm.
When we are constantly looking for sign and wonders. And I started studying this further and further. Sandy, you were going to say something?
When you were saying that, I was just thinking of Hebrews. You know, Hebrews 1. "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see."
That's exactly right. Exactly
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
And so, especially amongst our youth,
yes,
we run the risk of putting them to where they're running and chasing after emotions,
a feeling,
a high, or signs and wonders, and instead of it being Jesus Christ,
right?
And the danger is that the sensationalism, what happens, as I went further and further going from commentary to commentary, is they historically have proven that the sensationalism has to increase.
It's kind of like a fix.
It's what worked for today. Mm-hmm. And then I started thinking, oh, Lord, forgive us. Isn't this what we do in Christianity with our favorite authors? We're running after the sensationalism of getting on the bandwagon of this author says this, so we not we all need to. And I'm like, God, forgive me. I've done that. But we have to make sure that it's Jesus's way, the truth, and the life. And we have to take that which we are seeing, that which we are observing, and test it. Does it match?
What do you say?
Does it match? Because Jesus chose not to do sensationalism.
That's right.
He chose to
the hard way.
He chose the hard way. Yeah. And so we have to guard ourselves. And I mean, this was like, you guys, this is what was hitting me as I was studying this. And that's the reason why it begins with the identity. We have to know who we are. We have to know I belong to Jesus. It's his way I'm following. Then once we know that, we have to know my character has to be built on his character and his character alone. We have to know that Satan will come at us with lies, with temptations that are simple, basic things like bread and water, the pleasure of having people recognize us. He will also come and use that which is sensational to get attention so that lots of people, flocks of people will come. But the thing is what's the test? What does the fruit look like?
Right.
When it's left. You know, if we leave a place and it's been a high emotional thing, but the Spirit of God is not so evident, that fruit of the Spirit's being walked out when people are leaving, that wasn't of God. And so we have to ask ourselves, is this under a sensationalism or is this under the way? Because Satan removed the way when he quoted that scripture, because that's what Jesus was called to do, was to walk in the way towards the will of the Father to the cross. And it was with quiet humility, and he did not speak a word when he was rejected. Huge. And so I want us to be thinking on that. And I know that this is piercing people as they're listening in the city. And I was praying, I'm like, God, please allow us to get this. Allow us in a season when scripture tells us in the end times, false teachers, false prophets will rise up, and many in Christianity will fall away from the word of God, fall away from Christ. We as Christians have got to make sure it's the word of God that we are lifting up, because Jesus is the word. So when you come back next week, we're going to look at the third one and how worship and the impact of worship, because our identity should lead to character that leads to worship of God and God alone, because he is the only one we're called to worship. We're so glad you're listening to Cultivating Hearts, and we hope to hear from you. You can contact us at cultivatinghearts.org or tararye.com. God bless.